Welcome to Vaughn Chapel Talks, Hard Questions, Tough Answers, the podcast where we explore the intersection of Christianity, social justice, and activism. In this series, we study the history of Christianity, the church, and what faith means today. We dive deep into pressing social issues of our time, examining how they align with the principles of Christianity and the call to love and serve others. Join us as we engage in thought-provoking conversations with inspiring guests, unpacking the role of faith in driving positive change and bringing about a more just and equitable world. Together, let's explore faith, social issues, and the power of collective action to create a better future for all of us. What is the Black Church?
What is the Black Church?
Mm-hmm.
That can be defined in many ways when you say the Black Church.
What is it to you?
Whether you're talking about the gathering of a Black people in a worship setting or a movement of people that is working in a spiritual manner. Now, me personally, when you said Black Church, I think of worship on a Sunday morning initially. Worship on a Sunday morning, the Black church that excludes any other race besides what we consider ourselves to be Black Americans or Afro-Americans. So the Black church is a gathering of Black people for spiritual matters or social matters for the betterment of a kingdom.
My definition is a little bit different.
Your definition.
The Black church originates from that, but mine is, it's a cultural collective of music, ideas, form of preaching, form of praise, and okay. That kind of stuff. And the reason I say mine different is because the Black church can have non-Black people in it, but it's Black because of that history, that culture. That culture that exists in it. And okay. A Black church, this ain't happened, but let's just say, we have a Black church with that culture, that history, and then they tend to be overflowed with non-Black people. And that tradition, history, and culture leaves that church. That's not a Black church anymore.
No. Not if you're sitting it up based on culture, and I follow that very well, when you sit it up on culture and ethics, you know, that is what it built up off of.
Yeah, so yeah. That's why my definition is a little different. Because you can have a church that, let's just say, real diverse, if they still that culture, that history, and they haven't been touched by that diversity, it's still a Black church, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my definition of
Black. Well, I think that's a good definition, to tell the truth, and I think that is what I was saying in too many words, just single it down and narrow it down to say a cultural people form of worship.
Mm-hmm.
And that culture of people you're talking about is considered to be a Black people, dark-skinned race.
The reason I asked you that is because in that article, some people didn't like using the term Black because they felt like it was excluding. It was, you know, how if you say Black space, they feel like it excludes other races. It means we're not welcoming other races, and I think they confused that.
I don't think that should be looked at that way, but there's a lot of people that are like that because of perhaps trying to succeed in life. I think every people ought to be proud of where they come from, and I think every people ought to have the European church, ought to have the Hispanic church, ought to have the Japanese church, ought to have all of them for the purpose of training their children of where they come from. I think once we really lose our culture and the hymns that we sing in the church setting here at Vaughn Chapel, if we get away from those hymns and prayers and styles that we had, then we no longer have a cultural Black church. We have defined Black as being different from the way it was when I was a child, cultural people.
I got to disagree with you on that.
All right.
The reason I say that is because hymns are a part of Black church that is part of our culture and our history, but I also recognize that Black gospel music has changed and it's still significantly ours. we formed it, we created. We just may not do hymns anymore and that kind of stuff, but we have something that's still culturally relevant to us when it comes to music and church spaces.
Well, the Black church music, hymns, jubilees.
I understand the difference between hymns and music, but I just put it in that category.
Well, I'm going to use that category, and I'm going to use the time in which it was written. All the Black music, from what I've read and researched, it come out of the heart of our experience. We needed that style of music when my grandparents, which were born in the late 1800s, to my parents born in the really early 1900s, they sung out of their experiences. And they developed songs from what was going on, the same today. The younger generation is developing songs from their worldview. So there's nothing wrong with it. The songs that brought me hymns that I could stand on when I got out of a workplace on a hard day wasn't Kirk Franklin, but might have been Jane Cleveland or C.L. Franklin, whereby you all have Kirk Franklin and other upbeat artists today.
Mm-hmm. If I'm being honest with you, I ain't never been a fan of hymns.
I just use Kirk because that's about the only one I know.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. I have never been a fan of hymns.
Just hymns or Kirk?
Hymns. Hymns. That's why M-N-S. They are boring to me. But I
do not, right.
But let me say it, I don't hate them.
Mm-hmm.
And the honest reason is I can't never understand what you're saying when you're single.
And that's the problem.
I can't.
And nothing wrong with the hymn. I don't think the people really understood the language in which was used in him.
No, it's not even understanding the language. It's like I literally cannot
understand
the words. Like, I can't see what you're saying. Like, nah, I can't pick up a word. And I struggle. I try. I could never do it.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
I know that
one. Save a wretch like me.
But you know why I know that one? Because I done read the words.
And see, that's the difference right there. Back in the day, my grandparents couldn't read. Mm-hmm. So the men stood in front of the church with the book. That's why they lied, called they lying to him out. They will read it out so that the people can catch it and understand the words. Then they will put it in their own tune.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why you perhaps can understand. You don't understand the language from whence they come.
Well, I don't know if it's that. I just ain't never been a fan of them. But when I say I haven't been a fan, that does not mean I don't. Mm-hmm. I ignore the cultural significance and stuff like that. Because I know you get taught about it in school. It ain't never been my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But not all Kirk Franklin ain't been my cup of tea either.
Maybe they wasn't sung right where you were.
I don't know what it was.
Maybe they couldn't read it out right when they were singing a charge to keep our hair of years ago. We thought they were saying, "Hey, Charles." You know, they just didn't word it out. Some of them worded out to where you could understand. But the people of that generation knew what they were saying. I guess they did.
Yeah, I think, being honest with you, Reverend Fraley, I won't put it past them to not know what they were saying. Yeah. They were just sounding it out. The reason I say that, because you know, music today, you can understand a little bit better than you can hymns. But people don't be knowing the words of those, and they just be filling it in with what they think it is today, mm-hmm. too.
So, I can't understand the music of today. I can't get that rap, although I had rap when I was coming on, but I just can't get that rap. My son sang rap. You know, and I can't get it. I try.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I just can't get him, so I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, I just can't get
it. My wife can, but I can't pick it up. I can't pick it up. But I get where you come from on him. But I'm not trying to hate on him. I just know personally they're not my cup of tea.
Well, that's good. You know,
I never speak on somebody else when it comes to that because my wife is her cup of tea.
Well, you know. That's just like some Pentecostal songs I can't get. I love to hymn, but I can't get them. They sing fast to me. They sing fast and pat the feet and clap the hand at the same time. And I'm kind of a slow coach of people when it comes to it. That's what stirs me up, you know. Fast songs I can get off on, but a slow song, it speaks to my soul. It speaks to my inner being. And that's what we were saying in Sunday school this morning. That which speak to a person's soul and their inner being is where they should be fed at. But if you go on somewhere and you're not speaking to your soul, the spirit part of you that need to be developed, then you're wasting your time spiritually. It just speaks to me. At the end of a day, a hymn, a nice hymn would allow me to sit and just reflect. You know, it motivates my thinking. It brings great appreciation. Maybe it just goes out of the hymn.
Yeah, I know.
Even one of the white folks.
Yeah, I can't speak out. I just know it ain't my. I ain't got no taste for it.
But ain't nothing wrong with that.
I got no taste for it. I don't even. I like gospel music. In fact, I remember questioning. I think I remember somebody asked a question, where can you find God at? What do you personally find God at?
Mm-hmm.
I find it in music. I ain't gonna lie to you. I find it in music. I'm finding it in hymns specifically, but I find it in a diverse range of music. That's why I hear it. That's why I see it. That's what moves me personally. Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel about that.
And that's just one area.
Yeah, that's where I know for mm-hmm. sure if I wanted to go. If there's a song where the person called the grandma and said, you know, God ain't where you said he was supposed to be. I can't find him. it's a really nice song.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice song.
But that reminds me of a joke I heard about a man. The preacher was baptizing in the lake. Mm-hmm. And a drunk man walked back while he was baptized. And he said, would you like to find Jesus and know Jesus? He said, yeah. And he came over where the preacher was dipping people in the water. And he dipped this drunk man down in the water, healed him down, and brought him up. Did you find him? He said, no. And he dipped him again and brought him back up. Have you found him yet? He said, no. He dipped him the third time and brought him back up. Did you find him? He must have fallen off right here. You know, so it's funny. It's whatever brings you joy in your soul. I don't criticize what others do because I know God speaks to everyone in their own unique way.
Yeah, I know when I want to go, like if I feel like I need to be close to God at the moment,
mm-hmm.
I find it in music. I know exactly where to go to get it. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's where, like, me and my wife talk about people, like, you know, feeling the spirit flow through them in church and stuff like mm-hmm. that. I've never had that experience. I didn't say in church. I didn't say not in church. I'm talking about, like, doing, you know, a sermon type situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find it in music. So mm-hmm. I do find it in church music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get that feeling then.
Mm-hmm.
But like outside of that, when somebody preaching or something mm-hmm. like that, praying, I have never had that feeling.
Hmm. That's interesting.
I'll be honest with you about it. But
I wonder how many more people, because I know each part of worship service is in place because of that. Some people get it out of the sermon, some people get it out of Sunday school, some get it out of the choir. You know, that's the unique part of worship on a Sunday.
Yeah, I get it. I get it from the music. I'll tell you. I got it twice.
Mm-hmm.
When I joined my last church, and then when I got baptized, mm-hmm. I did get it then.
And when you say you got it, what is that? How can you describe it?
I can't explain it. For me, I know mine is like emotionally being overwhelmed in the moment. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the best way I can explain
it. In the moment.
In the moment, being emotionally overwhelmed. And that's how I feel it. I don't know if that's the right way. The right feeling to have, but that's the way I experience it.
Well, you know, can't nobody say you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people say they took over and running, you know, in an emotional way when it hit them, when they got it. Like the Blues brother, that movie, they just turned flips all the way from the front door to the pulpit.
Yeah.
You know, saying we got it. So there's no concrete way to say it have to be with your experience with God.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you. I always felt like I was kind of built wrong or something like that. But then I guess I grew up and thought, you know, no matter what other people do, this is how I experience it and that kind of stuff. My man Kier talked about it, and she done experienced it in different ways and stuff like that. And I just told her I haven't been privileged to experience it that way. But I know I know where to go to get it.
Well, that's all that matters.
That's in music. I know if I want to get close to God, I turn on music, certain kind of music. You know what? It's not limited to just gospel music.
Mm-hmm.
It's a music that can move me where I can feel the experience, and that makes me believe God exists because that music does that for me.
All right,
and that kind of thing.
Music will usher God into your life in that moment. Yeah. That's a good question to ask people. What is it that ushers God into your life in that moment?
I think you also asked me, where do they go to find God when they're looking for him?
Yeah.
That's a question. I don't know a lot of people think about that.
You know.
I know I thought about it.
Yeah, you know, that come with, now that's a word for that now. You know, that come with God having a calling on a person's life that I associate with being a prophetic speaker. And there are gifts that God allowed to work in our life at the needed time for him to show his presence. Like today, I use pretty much what you're saying today, how God is ushered in our life. One way is showing unity. Unity, because you can't unify really outside of God and be effective. Because God is unity, you know, and God is love. So when those two are working together, there you will find his spirit. That's what I teach and that's what I believe. You know, unity amplifies. Music amplifies God in your life. Music, a good sermon. I don't know whether you ever heard of C.L. Franklin, but he's a 1920 preacher. Preached during my daddy's near my age. And he is just as relevant today to me as he was then. I can sit right here and he's spellbound, meaning just listening to him on a CD. And many preachers really do that to me. I like Gilbert Earl Patterson when he was living. It's just something about it. When they asked me about preachers to preach for Pastor Anniversary here, I said, I need somebody to speak to my soul. I don't need somebody to just bring a crowd and then bring money. If it's for me, I would like to have a preacher that can speak to my soul. I won't say to other preachers that I'm preaching a good sermon, but it doesn't speak to me at the end of the program. But Reverend Reed, he spoke to me in that message. And it wasn't just he reading a scripture and amplifying it. A lot of it was his personal life. Those words that he was saying, that's what really moves me. And another thing that moves me when I see a young person like Doran, I know people were looking at him performing. I saw some more deeper than that. And he don't understand what be going on with him. He may start off as a performance, music, gyrating with him. But before it's over with, something else has taken that young man to a higher height. That moved me.
You know, that also, I get where you're coming from on that, because, you know, I said I find God in music.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely, he find it in doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he know it or not, but time I've seen him do it, mm-hmm. and I said, he gets his at.
And some people run from that. You know,
to be honest with you, I also see God in what he does myself.
Yeah.
That kind of moves me, but I get where you come.
My granddaughter's that way. She run from it. She can do what he's doing. I used to just sit there and look at that girl. I was just amazed. That girl got more than just what we want to call gyrating with this music. That's something else going on with this child here. But then you said something that reminded me of why she don't come to church regularly, because she feel prejudged. Because she kind of strayed off. And got real wild. And she want to come back, but she don't come back as often and do what she could do. She actually can teach your daughters to dance. That's what I've been talking to you. I said, you got it. God has given it to you. You don't see it yet. As you may never really see it to the magnitude that I believe God has given to me.
Which I get where you come from, because I know where I'm at faith-wise. It ain't where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't where I want to be at all. And I know compared to where other people at, it ain't where I see other people. Like, okay, not other people. When I get, I know where I want to be faith-wise. Is, you know how people are once they hit about 50, 60 years old, they be in a church believing in God, really mm-hmm. heavy, which I believe in God. Ain't no question about that. It's just my faith just ain't at that point yet, and I always wonder, am I going to get there with age, or am I going to get there through doing some type of work to get there, which I never consider.
Neither one.
Okay.
Faith come by hearing, and that is hearing the word of God. The more testimonies that you hear, the more testimonies that you witness, and the more testimonies for your life that you can line up with what you have read, is what will develop your faith. Okay. Get you to the point where you can say, hey, I got another level. And I speak on that because of what I've gone through. You know, when I was first diagnosed, my faith wasn't as great as it is now. You know, I go to the doctor, they talk about this little scar on my leg. I said, my faith too great for you to even think about cutting my leg off. You know, if it get to that point, I just don't believe it gonna get to that point. So the scripture said it come by hearing, and that is hearing the words of God is how your faith develops. Now you can hear the words of God through music. They may sing your sermons. Your sermons may come through music. And your faith start developing then, as you hear. You know, so that's a method of getting it. You keep on listening to the music.
Yeah, I got a specific instance that made me realize my faith ain't strong. I'm one of them people who just sit up there and lay up one night and just cross my mind that, boy, you're going to die one day.
Well, that's true.
And it scared the crap out of me. You know what scares me?
What?
It's the possibility. And this is why I say my faith ain't strong. That ain't life after death. That it's just nothing. It scares
well,
the crap out of me.
Well, how do you believe in God if you said there's no life?
I didn't say it was no life after death. I didn't say that. I said it scares the crap out of me that it, you know how people put, it just, I don't know, the possibility, that 1% possibility. And that's why I say my faith ain't where I want it to be, because I hold on to that little possibility and it scares me. That's why I say my faith ain't where I wanted to be.
Well, I think that goes along with what a brother asked me last week. He said, Ram, he said, I don't care, seem like how strong I get, how good I feel today, every now and then, there's a little doubt pop up.
That's what it is. Yeah. So.
I said, that's true. I said, that pop up in all of us. I said, here's a scenario, and this is why I believe God be working with me. I don't be really thinking about this stuff. I said, you can have a beautiful lawn of grass, Augustine grass, fescue, all of that. And you can put fertilizer on it and put weed killer out there, but you know what? Every now and then when you go out there, you find what? A weed or something that popped up. Why? Because it's the nature. It's the nature. I don't care how close I get to God, I never will get to the point where there's it was all doubt is gone as long as I'm in this body. But I will get closer to reaching perfection, close enough for him to call me on and say he's ready. There's always going to be a crack in the plate. You know, that's the scripture talks about that. You know, we are striving for perfection. I'm not perfect. And Jesus didn't come here perfect. Jesus reached perfection. So some people say, well, he never doubted. How you know? You just didn't write about it.
Yeah, you're the first person I ever told that to.
You know? So all of us have a little doubt. And as it pop up in my life, I get some weed killer, like I go out there and put in my grave. I get some scripture to put on my life.
Yeah, like, it's a little bit of doubt. It should pop up like once every 3 months while mm-hmm. I'm just laying in the dark trying to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And boom, boy, you're going to die. And it's like,
what's real? That's when you refer to the word, yeah.
But let me tell you, my belief in God is if it ain't, like, I sit there and think, dang, it might just turn into nothing after I die. But the way I see it and play it in my mind is God just didn't make it for us to have life after death. It ain't that God don't exist. Mm-hmm. It's just that God made it where we turn into nothing after death. That's so my faith in God, I believe in God, but that's the way I attribute all things unknown to God. Mm-hmm. In fact, I attribute all things known to God. Somebody say, God, I want you to take that vaccine. I'm like, God, I want to put it in my head to create it. If he wants you to take that vaccine, that's the way I am. Mm-hmm. Like, if God didn't want to be here, he wanted to put it here.
And not that's a strong belief. Like
not something like that.
Yeah.
Now, I know I fall into those little philosophical religious dilemmas of, if God didn't mean for it to be here, why would he let bad things be here? I don't fall victim to that. I don't.
But those are good theologian and philosopher questions to have. I like those kind of little arguments. The only thing it do is make me get closer to my God and prove. When I was in seminary, this kind of talk we had all the time. And the professor asked a question one night, and one of the preachers got upset and walked out of the room because he questioned his testimony. And the fellow, when he gave his testimony, he gave all biblical examples. Well, the professor took their testimony and said, how come he couldn't be number one day or third day? The man used biblical numbers to share his testimony. And the professor said, how come he couldn't be some other number? And he got upset. He got upset and he said to the brother, he said, brother, I have no problem with your testimony. Evidently, you have a problem with your testimony because you can't stand to be questioned. And you don't come to seminary to find Jesus. That ain't why I went to school to try to find Jesus. I needed Jesus before I went to the seminary, but I go to seminary to show myself that I know Jesus. And they challenge you in your setting. You know, if you don't like to be challenged in your setting, as being God, man, then it's a good chance that you don't believe yourself. Mm. Be able to defend your belief, not in an arrogant way, but in a more teaching way.
Yeah, it ain't that I don't defend it. I just don't want to deal with folks who want to argue that. And because I can sit down, think about it, get my argument in place and everything like that. In fact, it do go through my mind. Mm-hmm. But I just be honest with you. I just feel like I'm not far along in my spiritual journey to be speaking on why God may or may not do something.
You gotta get more of the word in you.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. Honestly, I know that.
That's your foundation.
I know that. I know that. And I need to start back doing what I was doing before. But that's why I don't have those conversations. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have an argument with somebody about whether God loved this person who this part of this religion that's not Christianity or something like that. I had that argument because I know I got my foundation enough to know that God loves everybody. So I can have that argument with you every day of the week. But that argument when we going into why God allowed bad things to happen, I'm not prepared for that.
God allow bad things to happen if he God?
Yeah, that's a question that hit the effect. I mean, when I took philosophy, I read that a lot.
It all depends on what you call bad things. What is a bad thing?
Everybody knows a baby being murdered is what we call a bad thing. To allow the person who killed that baby to survive into adulthood long enough to murder that baby. And the question would be, if God is it omniscient, seeing all things, why he let that person survive? And I'm not asking that question from my end. I just know that it's the top tier question you're going to get when it comes to that discussion and that type of stuff. But I know.
You wouldn't say that these things happened because of what man did?
Yeah,
the choices that man may invited these spirits into society. The choice that we made, God didn't make it that way. We chose to be the way that we are and for these things to be part of the society in which we live in. He didn't create us to be this way to do bad things. We made choice as humankind, and they've been following us ever since Adam and Eve made choice. When it comes down to bad things, you have to go back and say, humankind is the cause of this, not God.
Okay, I know. I get what you're saying, and I agree fully, but I just know what follow-up questions you would get, and I think that's a whole nother podcast to have.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother discussion to have another day, but I'm just saying I don't engage those discussions because I feel like I honestly could stand my own ground. I don't want to have that discussion with somebody who knows what the end result of that discussion going to be in their mindset. Like, they're not here to change it. They're just here to argue their points and get it out. And I don't.
Well, some people are real deep in it. Some people that go off to the seminary, they teach you to be critical in your thinking. I'm very critical when it comes to it. Mm-hmm. I may not show a lot of it in here because I shatter people's faith. But I'm very critical. I got a cousin I can't talk to because she's too off about it. She will not G nor ha from what the word said. I said, but baby, it needs interpreting in the context in which it was written. Not in the context of today. You interpret it in the context in which it was written, and then you see, can you make it relevant, find something relevant to that of today? No, Tony, no, it says this, and you can't get that. I said, you got to be a little bit more. No, no, you don't take no open mind for this. I said, honey, everything needs interpreting, even the three little pigs. The story of three little pigs. What's the deeper meaning in it? And that's why I challenged my Sunday school teacher. You go a little deeper in your teaching to make people think where they are, to whether what they're doing is right. You know, maybe I'm wrong over the years. I didn't bring a lot of this stuff out 20 years ago. But if I did, it would shatter people's faith and really ran them away because they wasn't ready for it. But was it for me to say that?
You still think they're not ready for it?
Well,
some
of them not, but you can't hold back no longer.
I think in a non-official / speak in front of pulpit setting, people may slowly open to those discussions.
I think this setting.
Yeah, I think this setting
is coming, greater than the pulpit.
Coming from someone other than you, they may be more open to them. And when I say open to the discussions, because they can sit here and blast me with scriptures and stuff like that. Something they probably may be more too timid to do with you and have those discussions. But I mean.
Well, you know, if I think if I was in that sitting where you are and a person over there like me, I'd be the devil advocate over there.
I can be. I could have been with that question of why God let bad things happen, but I don't like those conversations.
Well, somebody else has to do that. But see, I think that is what bring out the meat of any conversation. Knowing it's you stage it. Somebody have to be the devil advocate to make a person dig. I want them to do that with me. I want you to take what I say and just rip it apart and see how well I hold up to defend my belief.
You know, I ain't scared to ask you a question.
I like it. I tell them, bring it on.
The reason I say that, I mean, I'm one of those folk people who, if you want somebody to get challenged on what they believe and how they preach it to somebody, I can do it, Faith. I don't mind, because, I mean, I disagree with some stuff. I know some people don't like. One lady looked at me crazy when I asked a question challenging something one time. religious wise. I'm not, I mean, it don't hurt my feelings. I know I'm gonna ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm a. I want to learn. That's why I ask.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn. Sometimes I ask for my preconceived notions to be shown as true.
Mm-hmm.
But I most of the time I ask to learn.
Mm-hmm.
For you to tell me. Like, I already knew my. I need to grow in the word more because I've been had those questions with you and Ms. Shinhost and asking those questions.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. And you know, the first time I brought up about that little doubt that I have laying up in bed.
That's with everybody.
Yeah. Scared of crap. Scared of crap out
there. It's supposed to scare you.
Because it's like, buddy, your faith ain't strong enough right now, man.
Yeah,
might be earning my way downstairs is what I would go through my mind, which I don't know how that works if that little doubt saying there ain't nothing after, like there ain't life after death, how I'm going to go downstairs. It's a little complicated. Thank you for joining us on our insightful first episode of Vaughn Chapel Talks, Hard Questions, Tough Answers. We hope today's conversation has sparked your curiosity and inspired you to reflect on your faith. As we continue to delve deep into the rich tapestry of Christianity and its relevance in today's world, we invite you to stay engaged with us. Subscribe to our podcast, share it with friends and family, and keep the dialogue going. After all, the pursuit of truth and justice is a collective effort, and your voice matters. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future topics or guests, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with us on social media and let's continue the conversation. Remember, it's through the power of unity, empathy, and faith that we can make the world a better place for all. Thank you once again for being a part of Vaughn Chapel Talks' inaugural episode. Until next time, may your journey be filled with compassion, understanding, and a commitment to creating positive change. Stay inspired, stay compassionate, and always keep asking those hard questions that lead to even tougher but important answers. Thank you.